As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about a new special limited series we have coming up here on The Athletic NBA Show feed. It is called Stargazing. It is hosted by The Athletic's fantastic Lakers reporter, Jovan Buha. Stargazing is a look at the lifestyle gurus and support systems around NBA superstars. Each episode will center on one professional that represents an aspect of NBA culture. It could be fashion, it could be entertainment, nightlife, fitness, social media, as well as hear from the NBA superstars that work with these professionals. Some upcoming guests include Vince the Barber, Ronnie 2K, Rich Fresh, and B-Dot. Episodes of Stargazing will be released every Sunday starting on December 19th and will run through the NBA All-Star Weekend in February. That's Stargazing with our guy, Jovan Buha, Sundays right here on the Athletic NBA Show feed.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang! Yeah,
yeah. With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Everybody recording?
Alright. Here we go. Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad here today. Jay King, Trevon Edwards, Mo Dakhil, Jovan Buha, our Lakers reporter, also has a new podcast series that we will get into. But first, guys, feels like we're the only ones that definitely are working today on this Sunday because the health and safety protocols are running wild on the NBA right now. Absolutely wild. So I don't know what the official count is because I can't keep up with this. I think we're in the 60s in terms of players who have gone into health and safety protocols in the month of December alone. Games are being postponed left and right. Bulls had some games this week. Sixers look like they're done on this Sunday. Cavs aren't going to play on Sunday. It's all over the place. And this came at a time where the Nets were so hard up for getting players available that they said, all right, Kyrie, our bad. You can come play on the road and practice with us at home. And then, of course, he immediately goes into health and safety protocol. So not even that worked for them. Kevin Durant's in health and safety protocol. And so I want to start off with the Lakers side of this, Jovan, because one, you're our guest. And two, it feels like the Lakers have been kind of battling in and out of this. You know, Frank Vogel's in health and safety protocols of the recording of this. David Fizdale's going to coach the team on Sunday. What's going on with the Lakers' end of this? Are they worried about losing any games here, or are they just going to do what the NBA is doing here and trudging through? Because it feels like if we do get a pause in this season, it's not coming before those Christmas Day games. Like, they're going to make sure we get to these Christmas Day games, even if we have to have the basketball tournament playing in NBA uniforms.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they implemented that 2 week span of testing starting December 26th, right? Yes. After Christmas. They're right. Like, we're not doing that before the Christmas games. But I think the Lakers are just trying to trudge through. But as we've seen now, like almost three quarters of the roster has had COVID and or been in the protocols, and it's extended to the broadcast team. You had Bill McDonald, their play-by-play guy, out. You had Michael Thompson, the radio guy, out. Like it spread through the entire organization, and other staffers that, you know, the team hasn't disclosed. So I think it's hit them hard. They've also had some weird cases where like Russ was in it for less than 2 days. You had Malik Monk who was in it, and then he was cleared to travel, but he wasn't cleared to play, which doesn't make any sense to me.
That one was so bizarre.
That one was bizarre. And then we asked for clarification on that, and you know, they wouldn't disclose it, but like, it doesn't make sense how you could travel, but you couldn't play in that scenario. And now he's still in the protocols, but he was able to travel with the team. Then you had Kendrick Nunn, who just got like stuck at the Minneapolis airport. And
that's your nightmare, right? You hate the Minneapolis airport.
Yeah, it almost happened to me yesterday. And then he finally got to Chicago. So like, the Lakers have had some weird cases where guys have been in and out really quickly. We've seen most cases, it's you're going to be in at least a few days, if not closer to a week. But yeah, the Lakers are in a tough spot right now. And that's to say nothing of Anthony Davis just went down. And, you know, amid having half the rotation out, they just lost their second best player for at least 4 weeks. So I think the Lakers are in a really tough spot right now.
Yeah, the AD injury the other night was his second injury of the game, right? Like, he rolled his ankle a little bit. And then LeBron had some contact with McDaniels on like a handoff play, and McDaniels lost his balance and went right into his knee. He didn't even make it to the locker room, right? Like, he collapsed in the tunnel and was but the kind of shitty thing is with this, Jovan, is with AD, I feel like now we never know, like, okay, is that injury going to linger, or is he just going to be fine and come back in a couple of minutes? Because he does that a lot, right? So even though the knee injury looked bad the other night, part of me was like, he'll probably be back in a few minutes. I don't know.
That's exactly what I wrote. If there was a advanced metric for falls per game, Anthony Davis would be among the league leaders. And also, like, fake injuries.
He's on the
game,
Marcus,
right? Like,
Smart All-Stars.
he honestly goes back to the locker. Like, I'm not kidding. It's like once every two or three games, he goes back to the locker room with something. And then most of the time he comes back, he's fine. He plays through it. And then you'll see maybe he has like a wrap on his hand or whatever. And he's able to play. But this time it did look more serious. I thought him collapsing in the tunnel was obviously a pretty damning sign. And you know, now he's out for a while, but it's right. I mean, I if you go back and read my story after that, I have a paragraph of like, that imagery could be the Lakers season collapsing right in front of us, or it could just be another time where Anthony Davis, you know, appears to have a serious injury and is ultimately fine. So it ultimately, you know, it looks like it's the former, but I think, yeah, I mean, you never know with him, because he is brittle, and I do think he tends to dramatize it a little bit. But I think that was legitimate. And,
yeah, that's
obviously he couldn't walk.
Yeah,
I also think Joel Embiid is another candidate for falls on the floor quite a bit and fakes it. So he's competing with AD on that.
Well, yeah. Well, all right. I think AD I think AD feels pain. I think Embiid is trying to like get something from the refs. I think there's a difference in the motive there, right?
A little bit of acting. Yeah.
The all-time leader in just randomly falling on the floor is still Roy Hibbert, though, right? Nobody fell as much as Roy Hibbert did.
Is that true? I feel like I never associated Roy with falling.
Oh, he fell all the time.
I more associated him with just standing perfectly straight up.
I once had to do an edit of Dirk Nowitzki's falls during the finals against the Heat a few years ago. Like, basically when I was trying to get into the league for like my intern test, I had to do an edit of how many times Dirk fell. And that was quite a lot.
Is that
so? Dirk's up there.
Is that something where they had the answer and they're just like, it's 37 times. Let's see if he gets all 37.
No, you know what it was? It was the video guy got a call from the top of somebody needs to do this, and they're like, hey, Mo wants to work in the video room, we can get him to do this because I don't want to do this. And I'm little, you know, young guy trying to get into the league, was like, yeah, definitely gonna do it. Jumped right in all the way. And it was a boring ass edit to
make. Of course.
I was just gonna say, that sounds like an exciting project. Isn't that why you wanted to get into the NBA?
I think that was their thing. They're like, if Mo can do this, he'll do the other stuff.
He'll do any of the edits we need. With games being postponed left and right, Trey, like they're not going to do anything until the Christmas Day games come in, right? Because once, like, you got to get that payday for the league partner, for ABC and ESPN, and then once those games, I would almost say like immediately once. Well, who's the last game? Like Jazz Mavericks or whatever. Once that last game comes to a conclusion, Saturday night, Christmas night, I could almost immediately see a statement from the league saying, "Okay, we're going to pause this for 2 weeks."
So you think so? See, I think
they're not doing it before the Christmas.
They're not going to pause it ever. I think they're just going to keep charging through. I think they're committed to doing that regardless.
I mean, this is the thing. The real theory is, if it works for the NFL as far as just testing the unvaccinated players and kind of going with it, because no one's having, you know, crazy symptoms and things like that. A lot of guys are asymptomatic and things of that nature. But the thing is, the player pool, right? They don't cancel the season or do anything of that nature, but they do have to have a certain amount of guys on that team. So for those particular games, they'll just punt those games that don't have enough players. But I don't think it comes to a stop. I think guys are just going to be rotating in. Some guys are going to go into protocol and some guys are going to be coming out. So that's kind of the thing that they're going to have to do, because there's no chance, due to scheduling, in which we've seen in the past where, you know, other events, non-basketball, have been scheduled for arenas, and you can't get those makeup dates like that.
Right.
And they also, you know, NBPA can't afford to make these type of drastic, you know what I mean, situations. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that, unless the government comes in and just says, hey, you know, y'all got to shut it down. That is the only time that I feel like the league is going to stop. But until then, we'll see the most random names like Mario Chalmers and other guys
come back, man.
And join these teams.
Look, I think this is – I'm very upset by, obviously, the spread of this. I was super happy to see Rios coming back.
I was just so happy to see his name.
Yeah.
Just it brought me back so many memories of guys just yelling at him on the court.
Yelling at him and him like calling himself a top 10 point guard. And, oh, my God.
That guy won two titles. He was pretty good for a while.
Yo, he was good.
And the thing I remember most about him is just LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade just torturing him for
because they knew he could take it. They knew his ego was like, nah, man, I got this. I don't care what you guys say. Like, Rio is supremely confident.
It was great. Yeah. That I miss guys yelling at Mario Chalmers.
What's the Oh, go ahead.
Do you think there's a G League teammate who will yell at him like that?
No, he's been bullied. He's gonna bully the G League.
Who's the dude? Andre Ingram? Is that the dude that the 50-year-old that played for the Lakers? Like, he's the only veteran enough to like go after him. Yeah.
Actually, Chalmers is gonna have the G League guys do an edit of how many times Dirk Nowitzki fell in the finals. No, but the 2 week pause thing,
I had to give that a sympathy.
I was just gonna let it hang.
It was a bad joke. I appreciate it though. Jay, I appreciate
that's
it.
That's a bad
Jay,
teammate right there. That's what
it's okay. I'll live. But to the thing about the 2 week pause, I don't even know if that's enough. Like, the stuff I'm reading just about the variant, you know, and everything that goes with it, like, they're expecting the peak to hit like mid January. Like, if we pause and come back, are we going to be right back into the same situation where the guys are going to be getting it and they're going to have to postpone games? So I'm kind of with Jay. I don't think they're going to postpone games.
Yeah, I mean,
pause the season. Excuse me, not postpone.
Yeah, I mean that's because like the schedule. Right.
You give players 2 weeks off and they're going to they're traveling. Yeah,
right. they're not staying in Oklahoma City. They're not.
It really does need to be like, everyone's locked down, right? It's gonna have to be a quarantine situation. Otherwise, I mean, even then, you just bring people to the home or whatever. But yeah, like, no, like a pause in the season, not gonna happen. But so, like, I think, I mean, what, we have like 3 or 4 games postponed on Sunday, right? Alone, like, this over the next probably 4 weeks is gonna be super dicey for the NBA getting these games in. Because,
and I think the NBA has to be. Oh, sorry.
I was just going
to
say, there is no, like, we've discussed this in the past, like, there's no cushion in the schedule. As you guys mentioned, like, there's, like, as Trey mentioned, there's no, like, you got things scheduled in these arenas on other days. Like, to get these games in, to make them up, is going to be just crazy for the schedule. Crazy for the schedule. And so finding ways to make this happen is a logistical nightmare. And so on top of that, yeah, like, you're probably going to have, you know, Jerry McNamara or, you know, Hakeem Ward or just whatever that Syracuse basketball tournament team is. Like, they're just going to have to come in and be like, all right, we'll play for
Eric you. Diebendorf is going to be open in the NBA soon.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah.
But I think the NBA has to be really careful here, because I do think obviously there's a lot of pressure to keep the season going and keep everything going as usual. But player safety needs to be of the utmost importance. It's not just guys who get COVID either. It's guys who are playing 47 minutes in a game.
Yeah, KD because the rest of the roster is ravaged. Yeah.
It's guys coming back from COVID and needing to play a whole bunch of minutes because their team has 8 healthy bodies available. There are a lot of factors beyond just the COVID cases. Mm-hmm. Where guys can get hurt. And I think that's why the Nets really just caved and allowed Kyrie to come back, because they watched KD play 40-plus minutes a game, average the most minutes of his career for a while, and they're like, well, we have a guy sitting there, and we don't want to bring him back because he's not going to be able to play half the games. But we need to think about our whole team here. We need to think about the guys who are just getting drained by needing to carry this roster. And so it's a huge issue for players, even the ones that don't get it.
Trey, let me ask you, like, in terms of, because I feel like you'd be the one that knows this the best, in terms of like being ready to play, how ready was Kyrie to come back and play just from a physical game speed standpoint?
I mean, he'd been working out the whole time. I mean, He's popped out. Obviously, people see him in the wild as per se, but he's been staying in shape. This wasn't
Kyrie
a surprise.
In the wild.
You know what I mean?
Like, Kyrie, I mean, it's kind of like... Hold on, Trey. I'm so sorry.
It's kind of like...
Trey, I'm so sorry. Jay, what the fuck is that accent supposed to be?
That was that dude. You know the dude.
David Attenborough? You think that sounds like David Attenborough?
I don't know his name, man.
Jade, I need a clip of what Jay just did. I need you to isolate that and throw that into a clip and then throw in David Attenborough. And when you listen to this, Jay, I want you to text an apology and tweet an apology. Okay?
The kid has never been great at impressions.
So why did you try?
There's Kyrie in the wild.
There's Kyrie in the wild.
Kyrie in his natural habitat.
Kyrie in his natural habitat.
As the male tries to keep control, the herd easily becomes distracted.
There's Kyrie in the wild.
To increase their chances, pride lions often hunt as a team.
Kyrie in his natural habitat.
Macaw! There's Kyrie in the wild. Kyrie in his natural habitat.
Macaw! One lioness stalks directly forward. Her aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen.
Her aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen. Her aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen. Natural habitat. Her aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen. Her aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen.
If this was the real world, would it be anybody else's business?
But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right? You're making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it? Why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those types of questions? About pulling it off? For what? I don't get it.
The aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being
seen. About the bank. About the bank. That's... Okay, let me write for a bank.
Her aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen.
What I do in my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's, not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency video. You get that? Like, you, do you get that? And then I'm asking, hey, I'm asking questions about it. Like, that, that's what disconnects me from all that shit.
Like, I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the man, Come on, man.
The aim is to close the gap as quickly as possible without being seen.
But I will not apologize.
Do you want to explain your Peloton username?
I guess I could throw that out there. If anyone wants to follow me on Peloton, I haven't worked out in a little while. I'm getting fat these days. But the name is The Kid the God.
Oh, God.
And why is it The Kid the God?
It was just a joke for the lady. And then I didn't realize everyone was going to be able to see it. And then once I realized it was a public thing, it was too late to change.
Okay, back to what Trey was saying. Trey,
so now I'm just the kid to God.
Trey, I'm sorry, but I could not let that horrible accent, whatever that was supposed to be, go. So Kyrie's been working out. Kyrie's been in shape. He's been popping out in the wild. But I guess I've always felt like you could just drop him into a game and he'd be fine. But that's a long time not playing an NBA game.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's just going to be a flow thing, and they wouldn't have just thrown him right into the game. I think it would have been, obviously, after his five negative tests, he would have practiced and got some type of, because it's not like he's just some player that came from another franchise. Right. This is the offense that they ran last season. Some players that he's already played with, except the rookies and some of these new guys. But overall, I mean, he's just a natural talent, and I think they can just kind of fit in any situation. As far as the situation of the Nets bringing him in, it was like, all right, at first, you know, I'm saying no to bringing him in as a part-time player. But when you're bringing street guys off and you're trying to keep your star happy like a Kevin Durant, and he has to, you know, go in with, you know, a guy like Langston Galloway who just joined the team and had to get some big minutes. And then you have guys like, you know, relying on the rookies, and they're not in like dog fights, but again, that's overworking the star that you want comfortable in those situations.
Yeah, it's a lot of Kessler Edwards, right? And I like Kessler Edwards as a player, as a second round dude, but like that's a lot of Kessler Edwards.
He's Anthony Roberson 2.0.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a great call.
That's what it was. It's just kind of like, you know, all right, cool. Because, you know, I was talking to an NBA player and he was like, I didn't even know who David Duke Jr. was, bro.
Right.
Like, before that. And that's crazy, because when you think about it, some of these guys probably didn't think they would be on an active roster.
Yeah.
Or that they would spend most of the season in the G League, and now you're sharing the floor with actual, you know, top players. And, you know, your number's being called and relied on in the fourth quarter to make big plays. And so some of these guys are going to be nervous. Some of these guys are going to, you know, take a minute to adjust, and why not bring in a guy that can help immediately? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think the biggest thing, and that still hovers over Kyrie Irving in this whole situation, is that he has chosen not to get the vaccination. And that still kind of gets to people. But I mean, at the end of the day, he still has to get negative tests to be around the team. All these jokes about, you know, getting a team sick and things of that nature. Everybody should at this point is in protocol. So it doesn't even matter, you know what I mean, in that situation. But when he does come out, I think he's, you know, I'm excited for him to be back on the floor, because he's one of the most exciting players we had in this game currently.
I'm with you guys. Like, we're not going to pause the NBA season. I think we're going to have to pause the G League season, right? The G League season is going to be like, I mean, they're not going to have any players, because
they're
going
to have to use it like the form system.
Yeah. No, it's going to be all washed up NBA players. Mario Chalmers is back. You'll see like Tony Parker pop up.
Bring in the big three all-stars. Let's go.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Joe Johnson's going to be back soon, probably, right? Let's go. Yeah.
Glenn Davis is going to be out there hooping.
He'll be out there. I don't know if he'll be hooping, but yeah, he'll be out there. Okay, let's talk about some issues with the Washington Wizards.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The Wizards got off to a great start. I think they were like 10-3 or something like that, right? Everything's clicking there. They're playing defense. Everything's great under Wes Unseld Jr. And then they have been in a free fall lately. They have been just getting their asses kicked night in, night out. And Josh Robbins of The Athletic put out a great piece, I think, on Friday. Either Saturday or Friday. But it was basically like they're dudes that just... they're so against this equal opportunity offensive system, it sounds like, outside of like what Bradley Beal gets to do, that they're just like not even, they're not locked into this offensive system at all. And you're seeing them getting their asses kicked right now a lot of these nights. And so, Mo, in terms of like what's happened with the Wizards, does that make sense in terms of what you've seen out there with that play? Because you know, Montrezl Harrell has kind of come out and said, like, hey, let us get some touches. Let us get the ball and, like, go. Like, we don't have to, like, isolate.
Montrezl Harrell calling for the ball.
Yeah, I know. It's a shocker. But, like, Spencer Dinwiddie's like, yeah, man, we just, you know, kind of got to move the ball around and everything. And when asked about his own stuff. And so, like, I'm, like, I thought Wes Unseld Jr. was doing a really good job. And then they hit this tough stretch. And it sounds like the tough stretch is part of the, you know, just the coaching direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, we were talking about when they're going like, hey, wait till Bradley Beal even gets going. Well, what we didn't really realize is once Bradley Beal gets going, everybody else's numbers are going to start to drop off and tank. And I think it's a hard thing as a coach trying to figure out how to get your star player all the shots he needs and then get everybody else involved. And it's one of those teams that's missing a guy like a playmaker that can kind of make sure everybody else gets their touches. So it gets a little more frustrating. And then we know when guys aren't getting their touches, they're not going to defend as much either, right? And that's going to start to drop off. And I think that was a big reason why they were winning games early on.
Yeah, I think this team, like, they should have a pretty good defense. They have a lot of capable wings. They've got some guys with size who can move a little bit. They were top five or top six in defense early in the season. Over their last 15 games, they have 115.4 points per 100 possessions that they're giving up.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It's disgusting. So you can talk what you want about the offense. You can say what you want about the structure, about, I think Spencer Dinwiddie said it's like equal opportunity outside of Brad Beal. He seems to want more touches. Harrell obviously wants more touches. But it's like, just get back to defending. The Wizards of the last two seasons, the previous two seasons, they could not guard, and that was always their issue. They figured it out toward the end of last year. They were great at the beginning of this year, and then they've had huge, huge regression since then. So,
yeah, I
just think as much as you want to talk about the offense, like just play D, and then your offense will improve because you'll be getting on transition, getting easy buckets. But before you hop in, Zach, I also want to say I really liked how Unseld reacted to the players kind of criticizing his offense. He said, I want to talk to the guys. I want to listen to their ideas. And if I can change something, I'm going to do it because it's all about the team. And I just thought that was a cool response. It wasn't like him digging in saying, no, they need to do what I want better. It was kind of like a more collaborative response. And I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they have good veteran presence on the team. Like the fact that they've kind of checked out offensively is a concern to me. Jovan, like you covered some of these dudes, right? Like KCP, Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, you know, you know, well, like these guys are, well, not Harrell, but like KCP and Kuzma, like they were good defenders in LA, right? Like these are guys who like really help get after it. And I think their absence is, especially KCP, is part of the reason the Lakers are so bad defensively right now, compared to what they were in the previous 2 years. And so, if it takes getting Montrez some touches to get him to defend like he did early in the season, okay, I think that's all right. You know, I don't think that's bad, but I do think
it does. The answer is it does. It does, take some touches to get to defend.
But I think the sentiment from Mo of like, you know, if you kind of check out offensively, you know, guys who aren't scoring, like, yeah, like you do see that residual effect on defense. And Jovan, I think you see that with the Lakers to a certain extent, right? The team can't score and they're mediocre defensively. And I think there's like a symbiotic relationship there. This Lakers team, man, I know we're talking Wizards. I'm so sick of this Lakers team.
Poor Wizards. We can't even talk about how they suck. Like, we can't even stay on topic about
I got distracted thinking about,
like, they were really good for half the season. Lakers. We didn't say a word about
it. I was watching the Lakers. Hey, man, I've been writing the fucking power rankings every week how good they are. I've been propping them up higher than they should be because I was so happy with how good they were. Now they're just free falling in the power rankings as well. Check them out Mondays on The Athletic. But I was watching this Lakers game in Minnesota the other night. Jovan,
it was awful.
This is an abysmal team to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think they are currently depleted, right? And they were missing some key rotation guys, but
LeBron
to have that type
Russ
of effort,
and AD were on the court.
But exactly.
Kicked.
They had the big three. Had the big three, and it's you know, and now, I mean, I think the thing is they're going to dig into. 80's out. We can't evaluate this team. We still don't know how good we are. And that's going to be kind of the party line moving forward.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish like we could just see this team at full, because that's kind of been their thing all season, is we haven't been at full strength. Trevor Ariza was supposed to be our starting forward. Kendrick Nunn was supposed to be our sixth man. Neither one of those two guys has played a game. We've had all these injuries. Now 80's out for a month plus. Like they're going to use that as, you know, kind of cover for, I think, what's clearly a poorly constructed roster. And, you know, you're talking about KCP, Kyle Kuzma, like those guys were instrumental 3-and-D pieces over the last couple of years. And I guess to management's credit, they did identify that, hey, our 3-point shooting is awful. It's been bad the last couple of years. That first round series against the Suns, they shot 28% on threes. And the Suns defense was basically just, pack the paint. We're going to let KCP shoot, Caruso, Kuzma, you know, and those guys were shooting poorly. So I think the Lakers went out and tried to correct that. Wayne Ellington, Carmelo Anthony, Malik Monk, like they added some shooting, but they went way too much in that direction and did not replace the defense that they lost with KCP, Caruso, et cetera. So I do think there is some clear, I mean, this team has played one of the easiest schedules in the league and they're 16-14. And up until now had basically had their, you know, LeBron missed 12 games, so that's not insignificant, but Westbrook and AD have basically been healthy all season, and a team led by those two should be better than 500. And I think, you know, they're in a tough spot now, because I thought maybe they had an outside chance of getting the 4 seed and kind of that was like the upside of their season, but with AD out, I think they're going to really struggle. They might end up in the play-in tournament, and it's just kind of these bizarre, you know, back-to-back seasons after winning a championship. Where, you know, I think some of the offseason decisions ended up costing them.
Watch me tie this in, Jay. Okay, watch this.
Ooh.
I believe in the Wizards getting it together more than I believe in the Lakers getting it together. Ooh. I believe in this Wizards team. I still believe.
I still believe. I believe in this Wizards team. I still believe.
Sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racism, with its governor having his position dripping with the words of his position and vilification.
I think there's a chance there. Don't do that. I think there's a chance, a good chance.
Except that one.
They end up in the top 6 in the East still. I think the Wizards will get it together because we haven't seen Bradley Beal really get going yet for whatever reason.
I don't see them getting into the top 6 just because I think Boston has a better chance to get it together. I think Philly has a better chance to get it together. I think, you know, they got to jump over those teams. That's still really tight. I don't see that happening. I think the Wizards are going to end up being a play-in team because of it. Just because behind them, the teams behind them are better once they get going. You know, once the Celtics kind of wake up, I think they're going to be better than the Wizards. I think the Sixers.
I've been waiting for two fucking years for the Celtics to wake up. This is the Celtics.
Well, they're due then. They're due. So, you know, I still trust them more than I trust the Wizards to get going and to get into the top six in that case. So because of that, I'll go with the Lakers. And the one thing I'll say about the Lakers, although it's been crappy teams they've been playing, in the last 10 games, they're in the top five defensive rating. Like they are kind of figuring out the defense. Now, the offense stinks, but they are beginning to kind of figure out the defense. We'll have to see how it sticks when they play a tougher schedule. But like, I'm just not going to go against LeBron. And I'll trust
the
him
Kings,
better.
They played the Pistons.
I said they played crappy teams.
Magic, the Mavericks without Luka.
I mean, listen, no, I didn't say it was a great schedule, Zach. I didn't say that, but it's still, they weren't defending like this even in the beginning of the season when it was still the same crappy team.
That's true. They're getting waxed by the Thunder after getting big leads. At least they held that Thunder lead this time.
Right. Improvement.
Trey, what do you think is going to get Bradley Beal going? What do you think it's going to take? Like, what? Because this team, is he hurt? Like, it's confusing that he's been so off, just because I think he's playing well, but just making shots, like, this isn't the Bradley Beal we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's up and down, and it's probably frustrating for Bradley Beal fans and also Wizard fans for the inconsistency. Sometimes he can score the ball a lot, and then sometimes it's just kind of like, you know, but it's been a, you know, I don't know if it's a personal matter. I know he had lost someone close to him, and, you know, that might be overshadowing his focus and trying to separate the two. But I can say it's still early. And with a lot of inconsistencies in this season, could be effective. And maybe the buy-in on Bradley Beal is just too high at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. The expectations sometimes, like I said, it reminds me of, I'm trying to think of a player I can compare it to. Cause I don't want to, like, you know, kind of throw a shot at Bradley Beal. He's an excellent scorer. Yeah. But it's kind of how people feel about like Jeff Green or something, right? Where you feel like sometimes he can have a game like 50 points and you think like, oh, that's the guy.
The dude, right?
And
yeah.
then all of a sudden he just kind of falls to the backside and then he'll have another game. And, you know, obviously with the season that he had last year, you know, scoring like a madman. Yeah. And then, you know, now, it isn't so consistent. I mean, it's different because you're adding different players. They're running, trying to do things that doesn't work, and they're experimenting. And you know, sometimes that thing it can be effective to somebody's career. It's only a few players. I think it's maybe three or four players that really dictate the game. Like nothing really kind of sways them. Like KD, right. Steph Curry, maybe Giannis.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like those players that really aren't affected by anything they see.
Austin Reeves.
You know, child star.
Hillbilly Kobe.
Hillbilly Kobe. I talked to, here's a name drop for you, Jay King. Talk to Austin Reeves Friday morning on NBA radio, channel 86 on your Sirius XM dial, 10 to 1 a.m.
Congrats, man.
10 to 1 p.m. Yeah, it was great. And we talked about, do you know, like, so this was funny. This was a funny little story he told that. So his parents both played ball at Arkansas State, right? He's from Arkansas. They both played ball at Arkansas State. Arkansas State didn't recruit him. Both of his parents played there. They played, his high school played in a tournament there every year, and he won the tournament 3 out of the 4 years that he played, and they still didn't recruit him.
That's wild.
That's crazy, right? Like, you're a legacy. You're winning tournaments there as a high school kid.
Did they think he was too good?
Is that a thing? Would you not just send a letter?
Did they think to themselves, like, why not even, why would we even waste our
time? Right,
there's
no way he's going to consider. We can't waste the paper.
He's not going to come to Arkansas State, even if his parents
came. We can't. We
got a real tight recruiting budget.
We don't have the anytime minutes here to deliver on that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, shout out to Hillbilly Kobe.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, so I think we need to create trade rumors about Bradley Beal in order to get him going. Because the last 2 years was a lot of like, let's get Bradley Beal off the Wizards, and look how he played. He averaged like 30 a game. So I think we need, I think maybe that's like his, the thing that fuels him the most is trying to get him off the Wizards.
His start is getting weird. It's deep enough into the season. It's kind of weird that he's sitting there shooting 28.3% from deep and only averaging 23 points a game.
Yeah. I mean, he's taking a lot fewer shots and he's taking a lot fewer free throws, but yeah, the 3-point shooting, it's like he's at Florida again, where like, you know, he can shoot, but he's not making 3-point.
It's just so weird. Do you think so? Like, Zach, should the Wizards start putting out fake rumors? Just
100%.
We should. That's what you're saying. Yeah. So we should get Tommy Sheffer should just start pretending to make a
now,
few phone calls.
It's a tricky game because you don't want to upset him. Right.
Right. Yeah. Now you don't want to be like, am I being too shocked? Like, what?
It can't be too overt. But yeah, I think, you know, it's a fine line you got to walk there. That's what I would do if I'm Tommy Sheffer.
Well, then let's start a rumor here then. You know, where would you want him to go?
Ooh, where do I want Brad Beal to go? Philly. Ben Simmons for Bradley Beal.
There we go.
Yeah, just straight up, no picks involved.
And that's a guy that doesn't need shots.
Exactly.
So now you can facilitate the
new offense. Exactly.
Everybody gets touches. Everybody's happy. I'm in. Let's book it.
Pack your shit, Brad Beal. You're going to Philly.
You might have just saved the Wizards.
You're
season.
Welcome, DC. Just give me a cut. Give me a cut of whatever that playoff revenue is. All right. We have a new podcast series on The Athletic. It's called Stargazing. It's hosted by one Jovan Buha. Now, Jovan, I've got copy here that says Stargazing is a look at lifestyle gurus and support systems around NBA superstars. What is a lifestyle guru? And how do I get one? And don't say Jay King.
I could be a lifestyle guru.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. The god.
This is a topic for another day, but Jay's getting me into crypto. So that's
what?
If I make a bunch of money off crypto,
King with this?
You are going to
he's
lose
taking investment
so
advice from the kid, the god.
Money. You're going to lose some. I can. Look,
just give me the money. You'll see the same return. Nothing.
Let's get you to someone that doesn't have a joke name on Peloton that he didn't know the rest of the world could see. All right, let's get you investing with someone else that doesn't qualify in that.
He's my financial advisor. It's mainly like people like barbers and trainers and stylists, and I'm actually. Well, if you saw it on Twitter, it's not breaking news, but Trey's actually going to be on one of the 10 episodes this season.
There we go.
So it's really just a look at NBA culture and the figures and influencers that are around the players. And I think the NBA has been at the forefront of culture for decades now, right? And it feels like a lot of trends are set with NBA players first and then kind of going out from there. So it's talking to You know, this first episode is Vince the Barber, who cuts LeBron, Dame, Devin Booker.
That's an easy job to cut LeBron's hair, right?
he's on the shop. It was interesting kind of hearing his story of he's from Toronto, so moving from Toronto to LA. And it's kind of like a mix of both someone's journey with also some behind the scenes stories of interacting. Like he shared a great story with the late Chadwick Boseman and what it was like to cut him on the shop. And, you know, that was only a few months before Chadwick passed. So, he was talking about just the kind of the vibe on the set was a little off and how he didn't know exactly what was up, but, he was a big Black Panther fan. So it was kind of one of the few times he's been a little starstruck cutting someone. So I think stories like that. And so our first three guests are Vince the Barber, Ronnie 2K, and Daryl Ann. You probably know him as Gradient Visuals on Instagram, Clutch Sports Photographer. But those are the first three guests. That's on Apple Podcasts subscription right now. The first episode is out everywhere, Spotify, etc. And it's also, I think one cool element of it is it's a video podcast. So we have all the episodes are going up on YouTube. We're cutting social clips for Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And I'm trying to tap into a bit of a younger audience as well with that element, because I do think that, a lot of the more popular podcasts among, 25 and under, there's a video element. So that was something I wanted to try to tap into.
You got to find the guy who did Carlos Boozer's hair that one.
I think that was a painter, not a barber.
I would listen so many times to that episode.
Yeah, actually, for one of these episodes, if you could just do an oral history of the time Carlos Boozer got so much Beijing that he looked like he had shoe polish on his head.
I need that episode. I need former teammates' reactions to
it. Oh my God. Yo, I mean, look, I still can't get him to tell me the story, but I have hounded Antonio Daniels for the story of why Vladimir Radvanovich had the cornrows with the braids with what I can't even remember what they're called at the end, like the beads at the end or whatever. He will not tell me, but he laughs every time. He's like thinking about it. He laughs every time. That's the lifestyle guru to break is Vlad Radmanovich. That's the one to go for.
I mean, I'm looking at those things right now. Those are
he outrageous. Will not tell me, like not even in private, not even off the record. Something happened. Something happened there. I need to know what it is.
Oh my! Please Google Vlad Radmanovich's hair if you guys are not aware of this.
So bad.
Yeah, Yovan.
Just a special moment in NBA history.
I do like the idea of like the video element to that, because I like, you're right. Like, I feel like people are watching podcasts now a lot more, and I think it's a terrible idea for us, but it's a good idea for like a better looking podcast.
I think we're kind of cute.
I mean, Yovan, how does it feel to have the best hair on The Athletic? I mean, that's the whole reason why you're doing it, right? You just want to slow the fuck down.
All right. Yovan's hair is very good.
It's between me and Zach.
Yeah. Don't be diplomatic, Yovan. That's not what you say in private.
I've got some beautiful hair, too, when I want.
No, you don't, Jay. Yovan, don't be diplomatic. That's not what you say in private.
Well, look, when I was pitching the podcast, I said, I want to put this on camera. I'm going to show off my hair. And that was what got the higher-ups to sign off on it.
Yeah, they're like, hey, they're just throwing money at you at this point. I have a...
Here you go.
What's up, Doc?
Jay, you're a terrorist on this podcast. You know that, right? You're a terrorist. I'm
pretty aware.
He's the Joker.
He is. He's the Joker. With the Ronnie 2K episode, I find his, like, he had, I know Ronnie a little bit, like, he had this, it feels like a scheme at this point, but to get followers on social media, when he was like, hey, for every, if I get to 100,000 followers, I get 200,000 followers, whatever, I'll release more ratings. Like, that was the way, it was brilliant, too. I'm not even saying that in a bad way. He had this to where he became, like, this massive social media presence because he was getting, like, players wanted to know their ratings. And this is, like, when 2K was coming out, like, 5 or 6 years ago. And it was just, like, all this, like, all right, you guys keep following, I'll keep releasing, NBA ratings. And it was all stuff we were going to find out anyway. But like that whole world of managing those players and having Hassan Whiteside hit you up constantly and everything, that's a fascinating story and just like presence to have.
I once had Marcus Morris told me he boycotted 2K because they didn't rate him high enough. Like he was obsessed with 2K dating back to when he was a kid. And then they didn't rate him high enough, and he just boycotted it.
Well, that was kind of the shocking thing with that episode was like hearing him talk about how much players actually care about their 2K ratings. He was like, I've had players tell me that like aside from like making an all NBA team or getting like, you know, a big contract extension, like 2K is right there with, you know, making like an all-star team or something, yeah. Which to me on paper, like doesn't, you know, it doesn't compute, doesn't really make sense. But he's like, you know, a lot of the kids now, especially, you know, if you're like under 25, you've been playing 2K since you were like five, right? And you grew up with the game and, you know, being in the game is just as exciting as being in the NBA. And you know, so again, like that's something I can't relate to, right? But I thought hearing him share some of that. And yeah, I mean, I think to your point, like he is, you know, we can use the term guru. Like he's a marketing guru. He created that position for himself out of nothing. Like he was running 2K forums and just kind of got so popular in the 2K community that they invented this position for him where he's basically, you know, he's doing the ratings and he's getting celebrities and different players and influencers to share 2K. And like, that's a, there's no blueprint for that job. It's all about relationships and how you can kind of, you know, build and sustain those and manage people and stuff. So I think his story is really interesting. He had a really cool Michael Jordan anecdote that I think people will like. And so yeah, that's the second episode that's coming out. So the show comes out every Sunday. Join the Athletic NBA Podcast Network. So it's released on Sunday, but we're kind of pushing it more on social during the early part of the week with like the clips and stuff. So I think that's people will probably see it more during the week than over the weekend.
Trey, what's your experience with like players and being obsessed with 2K?
Oh man, it's just, I mean, I know players who have like different theories, right? Some won't play using themselves. Some will actually use their favorite players in the league. You know, it's actually a thing. And some are just really good. Like I know, it's just a connection to the game. You know what I mean? Like overall, I mean, just as us being kids playing video games, it never changes. And some of these guys are younger than us. So it's a way to stay inside, stay out of trouble. And still connect with your friends when you got idle time. Cause you know, these guys only practice for about 2 to 3 hours and then they have the rest of the day.
A lot of free time.
And sometimes yeah. when you have a lot of free time, you can get in trouble. And I think that, you know, video games just, you know, keeps your mind working. And then, you know, 2K has done a great job at like kind of imitating life as far as putting the same playbooks in there, you know, seeing different defensive schemes.
Wizards will hate that.
Also, I mean, the one thing I always laugh at is LeBron saying, how he's already familiar with some of his teammates, like through right. playing 2K.
I forgot about that.
It don't really work that way.
No.
I won't say it's like that. But
is that why they did the Russ trade?
Yeah,
he tried it out on 2K.
Probably
2K, they won.
Probably most shit. Likely.
That's how the recruiting.
He simulated the season and they won right. a title.
Yeah. I love the idea of just like, fuck it, we'll just simulate the season. They're like, oh, we won. Let's go get Russ. maybe that's the key. Maybe that's the key to slowing down this whole thing. 2K needs to release special editions for each player that bumps up their rating on them at home to keep them playing and keep them inside. I think we just solved it, guys.
That was a wild.
we solved it.
I think
sure.
we solved just like the NBA side of it. Like you want guys to stay inside and not go out and not like, you know, get into the health and safety protocol. 2K, start sending everyone their own edition. Hassan Whiteside, 100 rating. And he'll just be like, whoa, I'm 100 rating now. Check this out. And then he'll just be playing the whole time. He won't go outside. Spencer Dinwiddie here. You're 100. Hey, Austin Reeves.
The offense runs through you.
Yeah, the offense runs through you. Austin Reeves, you're 100. Stay home. I think that's what they do. Ronnie, get on it. What's wrong with you guys? Now we can blame 2K if the games get postponed from here on out.
I'm really glad you're not a decision maker.
Oh my God. What a horrible place we'd be in if I was a decision maker. Are you kidding me?
No, we wouldn't have made it.
Oh God, no.
It'd be over.
Not even a week. Not even a week. You kidding me? And yet, still not the worst idea. The worst idea on this podcast is taking crypto advice from Jay King.
Yeah. Yovan.
What are you doing?
I think that's a great idea.
You also think you can knock out Floyd Mayweather.
He was very convincing.
That's what con artists are. They're convincing.
Oh. Did you guys see the Darren Williams fight?
No, I didn't watch that.
Did you see Tyron Woodley getting knocked the hell out?
Yeah, I did see that. I don't understand why anyone cares about the Paul brothers, man.
I don't understand why people are falling for this.
Does anyone care about those dudes?
I don't understand why people are falling for this. This stuff is rigged. You know how you get a big payday? If I say, yeah, you can knock me out. Yeah, you can beat me in this. That's how you get that payday.
Nah. You don't sign up for what Woodley got. You do not. You do not knowingly sign up.
I don't know
for that.
Zach, you remember the Masvidal knockout when he got knocked out and all that sweat poured off his head? Mm-hmm. This one was even more.
No, I saw it. I saw the clip. I'm telling you, this thing is like what other money was Woodley going to earn in the rest of his life?
I don't know, but that's a tough way to make a living then.
Yes. So is professional fighting. He was a professional fighter. Like, this is not anything new to him. It's not taking some like random off the street and doing it. Although he did that with Nate Robinson, but that like,
so
yeah,
oh, man,
this is rigged.
Nasty.
Like, I don't understand. Like, this is all preordained. I don't know why, like, anyone's pretending it's not. You build up the hype of them in these fights by them always winning. That's what keeps their fans involved, engaged.
Maybe we should just give Logan Paul his own NBA 2K.
God. What an idea. Yeah, just what is it? Fight night? Fight night, Paul edition. That's what we'll do. Yeah. All right, make sure you're checking out Stargazing every Sunday on the Athletic NBA Show podcast feed. Make sure you're checking out the clips all across YouTube, social media, TikTok, all of it. Yovan Buha talking to Vince the Barber and then Ronnie 2K and then Gradient Visuals, one of my favorite Instagram accounts is Gradient Visuals. Like, it makes me feel like every once in a while I'll take like a really good picture on my phone and think like I could be a photographer. Yeah, I can't. I know Jay probably thinks he's like Ansel Adams over here, but like
photography is one area I can't even pretend to
do. Make sure you check it out, Stargazing with Yovan. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the Athletic, the best coverage of sports on the internet as long as sports keep going. Which we don't know, they keep getting postponed, so we don't know that it's going to happen. But as long as sports are still going, make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. For Trevon Edwards, for Jay King, for Mo Dacchio, for Yovan Buha, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.
The rancorous debate over the debt belies a fundamental truth of our economy, that it is run for the few at the expense of the many, that our entire government has been turned into a machine which takes the wealth of the mass of Americans and accelerates it into the hands of a few. Let me give you some examples.
Take war. War takes the money from the American people and puts it into the hands of arms manufacturers, of war profiteers, of private armies. The war in Iraq, based on lies, $3 trillion would be the cost of that war, please. The war in Afghanistan, based on a misreading of history, $500 billion in expenses already. The war against Libya will be $1 billion by September.
50% of our discretionary spending goes to the Pentagon. A massive transfer of wealth into the hands of a few. While the American people lack sufficient jobs, health care, housing, retirement security, our energy policies take the the wealth from the American people and put it into the hands of the oil companies. We could be looking at $150 a barrel for oil in the near future.
It was beyond belief. These were first and only drafts of music. But they showed no corrections of any kind. Not one. He had simply written down music already finished in his head. Page after page of it. As if he were just taking dictation. And music. Finished as no music is ever finished. Displace one note, and there would be diminishment. Displace one phrase, and the structure would fall. It was clear to me. That sound I had heard in the Archbishop's palace had been no accident. Here again was the very voice of God. I was staring through the cage of those meticulous ink strokes at an absolute beauty.